I said at the beginning of Mass that the emphasis now shifts away from John the Baptist and comes very much onto Mary on the fourth Sunday of Advent. And that's usually the case, as I also said, when there is a baby about to be born, the emphasis very much goes on to the mother-to-be. Mary must have been quite a remarkable young girl. She was probably only about 15, 16, according to the tradition of the time. And to respond the way that she did is really quite remarkable. And I know that we can sit there and say, well, this is the Holy Spirit doing all what the Holy Spirit does. But Mary was a full and complete human being, except without sin, as the church later started to teach. But in this experience, she must have been awestruck. I think there are many of you here who, when you found out that you were pregnant under what I'm going to say normal circumstances, were probably awestruck, let alone to have angels knocking on your window and tapping in and then coming to tell you what name you're going to call your child. Interesting, the name Jesus, it means Yahweh saves, which reminds me of a little story where Jesus and Satan were having an argument in heaven about who was the best computer programmer. And God said, stop it, I'll sort this out. I'm going to run a competition and see who can program their computers the quickest and get the most programming done. So off they go, Satan and Jesus, doing their computer programming. And then, all of a sudden, there is a huge strike of lightning and thunder, and power goes down. And God says, oh, well, look, that's enough. We'll see how you've gone on with what you've got. And he comes over to Satan and says, how did you go, Satan? And Satan turns his computer on, and there's nothing there. And he says, well, I lost everything when the power went out. And God said, well, that's a shame. Well, let's see what happened with Jesus. And he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, how did you do? And Jesus turns his computer on and up comes the program and there's all of a sudden choirs of angels singing and everything. And Satan says to God, how can that be? Because the power went out. And God said, ah, Jesus saves. Oh, I know. Give me a break. It's a tough time of the year. But that's the whole point of the Annunciation, is that it is actually about Jesus saving, which would never have taken place in the way that it did if Mary had not first said yes. But Mary is not the end point in the Annunciation. Everything to do with our faith and everything to do with our searching for God and our love of God and our trying to live by the law of God, which is love, is actually focused on Jesus. Mary is a signpost to Jesus. She's not the end point. Mary doesn't save. Jesus saves. And I think we have to remember that, especially when quite often it's easier to put the focus on Mary, especially if you're a mother, I guess, or a grandmother, or even a woman, because you could probably identify with her predicament to some degree, perhaps. But it's actually not about her. And when I think of this young girl and what she had to face, at the time that she came to give birth, she had already said yes, and she was moving aside from causing scandal because she wasn't technically married at that stage. But Joseph had worked his way through there. But she turned up at a place, had every door closed on her, on her face, gave birth in the most poorest of conditions, really, immediately had to pack up her child and become a refugee. So for the 7 years, they trekked and lived their life in Egypt, and then 30 years later had to stand by and watch her son be killed as a criminal.
So when she said yes, I don't think she had any idea really of what that yes involved, what the repercussions of that yes really were. And we look at our own life and we look at the commitments we make, and I mean the truly significant commitments that we make. For those of you who are married, for example, when you said yes, you probably didn't fully understand what that commitment involved, but it was revealed to you in time, probably through the birth of children, probably through your first argument and how you resolved that argument and you moved on, probably by the interjection of in-laws and how you resolved that. All of the things that are put in our way to help us greater understand what the meaning of that yes means. For my ordination, I said yes, I'd go into the seminary, but really, to get that out of my system, I don't think I really had any intention of becoming a priest, because I don't really think that I was cut out for it. But as I lived out what I put my hand up for, and I think God grabbed it and squeezed it and pulled me closer, my yes, I started to understand it a little bit more, to the point now, 32 years down the track, a greatest mystery there never has been. I'm still here. But I'm probably happier now, despite all of the dramas that have surrounded my priesthood, I'm probably happier now with the mystery of that yes than what I was the day that the Archbishop poured oil over my hands. Because I think my focus then was really on, well, it was on all sorts of other things, particularly my own family who weren't all there. And I was probably quite distracted, I think, by the event rather than what the event was going to reveal in time. And you could identify with that, I'm sure many of you, if I went back to the marriage thing. To young people or to people who aren't married and are trying to make their decision in life, to make their commitment, it's really hard to say yes, because what do I say yes to? I haven't found my yes yet. I haven't found my calling, my niche in life yet. These young guys over here, their yes is nearly always to their parents. And so that yes is an obedience, normally. And it's not going to be revealed to them by the end of this homily. It comes in time. And I guess the other thing that I would learn from Mary's example is that perseverance. It's not just hanging in there, it's believing what you're hanging in there for. We've been given a gift, and I don't know what that gift is. But once I say yes, I think the gift starts to be revealed. And if we say yes to God, I'm absolutely convinced that the focus is taken away from us and it's put on where he wants it to be. And that's as it should be. The focus should never be on me. It should be where God wants it to be. And where that will land, well, that's part of the mystery. It's like Mary saying yes, and she's going to give birth to the Son of God. It's part of the mystery. It's, how do we get it? Well, it's called our faith. It's not called fact. If it was fact, no need for faith. And at this time of the year, we really have to exercise a little harder what our faith is, what has been given to us. And I think what makes my heart the saddest is for those that actually don't have faith. We're here, most of us, and we struggle along, but we keep coming back because a little bit more gets revealed each time we open the scriptures and Jesus feeds us. Just a little bit more gets revealed and we get drawn into the mystery just a bit further. Where it ends up, I actually don't know. But I'm convinced I won't be side by side with Satan doing programming. I'm not sure whether there's going to be choirs of angels. I don't know. But I do know, because it was proved through Mary saying yes, that the promise that God made to me and I made to him when I was baptized is going to be fulfilled. And if you at least believe that in your life, then you, like Mary, have nothing to fear.